Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Finally, some common sense in the abortion argument battle, and it's coming out of the state of Tennessee. Have you ever wondered about the father in an abortion? If you haven't, why not? In most states, the father has no word whatsoever. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. Here is the father of a child. The mother decides to abort the baby, to kill the baby. And in most states around America, the father can do nothing to prevent it. Now, you and I have talked often about the trauma of abortion after the abortion is over. Many, many, many women, it is not unusual at all for a woman who wants to have an abortion, who proceeds to have an abortion, it is not unique or unusual at all for that woman to deal with terrible guilt, psychological issues, and so forth, sometimes for many, many years after an abortion. But what about the father? What about the father? A father who wants the child, who wants the baby to be born, who wants to be a father, who wants a child to grow up that he can interact with and have birthday parties and either, you know, dress up and play princess or go to baseball games or whatever. What about the father? In most states, the father doesn't matter. Two Tennessee lawmakers have proposed a bill, this was just last week, that would allow fathers of unborn children to petition a court for an injunction to prohibit pregnant mothers from obtaining abortions. Yeah. Senator Mark Pote and Representative Jerry Sexton, both Republicans, have sponsored the bill. Representative Pote said Wednesday he proposed the bill after hearing a Tennessee resident's concern that a father has no say over the abortion of his child. Well, most people don't think about it. And to be honest, a whole lot of people just don't care. Representative Mark Pote said this, quote, "I believe a father should have a right to say what's going to be happening to that child. And if somebody is going to kill that child, he should be able to say, no, I don't want that child to be killed. I want to be able to raise that child and love that child." The legislation is SB 494 and HB 1079. The legislation has been referred to the Tennessee Senate Judiciary Committee and has been filed for introduction in the Tennessee House of Representatives. Now, here's what the bill would entail. And listen to this, because I think it's important. The bill would allow a judge to grant a petition if the paternity is not subject to be rescinded or challenged. In other words, if the father of the child steps forward and says, I'm the dad, I am the father, I am even willing to take a paternity test, I am the father, I do not want the child to die. I do not want the abortion. From that moment on, if that legal, if that is filed legally with the court to block the abortion, that man, that father, is obligated then to pay child support. And if the mother does not want to take care of the child, to care for the child. I think that's very important. So in other words, Some young kid can't say, I don't want an abortion. And then after the baby is born, check out. Can't do it. The father would be legally responsible for care, at least joint custody, child support, and so forth. Quote, if the mother acknowledges the man's paternity, DNA proof is not required. Claiming fatherhood would make the man obligated to support the child. Very, very important. The Tennessean newspaper reports that under the legislation, a judge would grant the petition as long as the petitioner proves he's the biological father and there is a reasonable possibility that a woman will seek an abortion. Although a father would be able to deny an abortion once paternity is established, he would not be able to rescind or challenge parental obligations. He is in for the long haul. Can't change his mind, can't back out. Quote, he can't turn around under any circumstance and say, I was wrong and it's not mine. So once paternity is established, that young man would be obligated. Question, why don't we have legislation like that all over America? Why don't we have it here in the state of Ohio? Common sense legislation realizing the rights of the father. So I think it's good legislation. We'll keep an eye on it. It has just now been proposed, so it's got a long legislative road ahead of us, and I'll try to keep my eye on that and keep you up to date on what I think is just common sense legislation. Of course the father is important. Of course he is. Now, into the weird and wacky file. We haven't been there for a while, but this is weird and wacky. Did you hear about this? Almost all of you have heard of the actor Sean Penn. Sean Penn is a little out on, he lives on Loony Island sometimes. He has a long history of kind of erratic behavior and so forth, and he is a far, far, far left activist. Well, recently, in an interview, he said that he cannot believe that anybody would support former President Donald Trump, and he can't understand how anybody who calls themselves a Christian, particularly an evangelical Christian, could support that evil Donald Trump. So much so, you ready for this? Sean Penn is lobbying the Pope to impeach. Sean Penn is lobbying the Pope to impeach, not excommunicate, no, impeach evangelical Christians that support Donald Trump. Now, obviously, he has no idea how the Catholic Church works, and it's not impeachment, it's excommunication. He has no idea that the Pope has no authority whatsoever over evangelical Christians, but he doesn't care. He wants the Pope to impeach evangelical Christians who do or have supported Donald Trump. We should never get our theology from Hollywood actors. And, well, in fact, we should not get much from Hollywood actors, especially theology. He wants the Pope to impeach evangelicals who support Donald Trump. Wow. When we come back, where is the pandemic aid bill? Well, I'll give you the latest when we return.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
When is a COVID relief bill not a COVID relief bill? Well, when almost nothing in the COVID relief bill is about COVID relief. Well, I guess that's a little exaggeration, almost nothing. Very little. Yeah. Democrats and President Biden are trying to push through a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. $1.9 trillion. They want to have this thing done, finished by the end of this week. And analysts are predicting that not one single Republican will vote for it. Okay. If even Mitt Romney, Murkowski, Collins, even if they won't vote for it, it's got to be a pretty bad bill. And, of course, nobody knows exactly what's in the bill because, well, Nancy Pelosi is kind of in charge. And, you know Nancy's policy. We have to pass the bill before we know what's in it. Remember that? She hasn't changed. Although it looks like this bill is only about 500 pages, it's a little over 500 pages, unlike some of the others that were like 2,000 pages long. But here is the reality, although we don't know everything that's going to be in the bill, very little in the COVID relief bill actually has anything whatsoever to do with COVID relief. Yeah. House Budget Chair John Yarmuth, Democrat from Kentucky, said, "We're working as quickly and expeditiously as we possibly can. We'll send it over to the Senate and see what happens." They have control of the House. They have control of the Senate. They have the control of the White House. So, there's very little doubt that this thing is going to pass, but a few of you are old enough to remember 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. We could change that old, that was Tennessee Ernie, wasn't it? Wasn't that Tennessee Ernie Ford? I believe so. You need to change that to $1.9 trillion, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. However, it does look like we're all going to be rich. Yeah, it looks like the stimulus checks of possibly $1,400 a piece will be included. At what cost? Higher taxes, more federal debt. So when you get the stimulus check, if you get it either in the mail or it's deposited into your bank account, just remember, you'll pay for it. Oh, yeah, you will pay for it. No doubt about it. This is an interesting article. Conservative author and commentator Meghan McCain. Well, Meghan McCain is sometimes conservative. Often she is not anything like conservative. But anyway, she is in big trouble with the liberal left. As you know, she is one of the panelists on The View, writes editorials for several publications and so forth. Here's the headline. Meghan McCain blasted for saying half of women are pro-life. Okay. The liberal left is going crazy because Meghan McCain said, and I'm quoting, half of women are pro-life. Well, here's the reality. Most polls indicate that just about half of American women are indeed pro-life. Now, the depth of their pro-life stance is debatable. Some are absolutely pro-life, no abortions under any circumstances. Some are pro-life, abortions only in the well-being of the mother, rape, incest, and so forth. Some are pro-life at a certain point in the pregnancy, a number of weeks, and so on and so forth. But with all of the different gradations, if you will, of pro-life positions, it is true that half of American women are in one way or another pro-life. But Meghan McCain is being beat up by the liberal left. She's being beat up on social media because she told the truth. We're seeing a lot of that. You know, people getting in trouble just for telling the truth, like man is a man, a woman is a woman. Yeah, a lot of people are getting in trouble just for telling the truth. Hey, a little program note. We're coming up on the top of the hour break here in a few seconds. When we come back, we will be joining our friends in Washington, D.C. The 5 to 6 hour, we will be simulcasting with WAVA in Washington, D.C. If you have friends in the D.C. area, it's 105.1 FM. 105.1 FM. Spread the word.